Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are the one who strengthens and redeems us. Amen. An apparently true story that I came across, it seems that Bishop Roger Hurt, a former Anglican bishop of Newcastle, Australia, told the story of a Croatian refugee that he met in mid-2001. This man had fled his war-torn country and arrived in Australia some years before. Since then, his marriage had broken up and he'd lost custody of his children. And to add to his agony, 24 members of his family, including his 84-year-old grandfather and 4-month-old niece, had been killed during the most recent conflict in Croatia. And he said to Bishop Hurt, "Where is God when it really matters?" I'll tell you where. God has got fed up with us. He has put up a board saying, "Gone fishing," and left us to live in this bloody mess. I'm sure if you have not already, you will at some point in your life feel like you're somewhat in this same position. That God's not answering your prayers, not listening. Or we prayed fervently only to not get what we think is an answer or not like the answer we thought we were given. And when we look at the Israelites in our story from Exodus today, you know, as I said to you during the children's talk, they had seen Moses perform the plagues with God's power. They had seen God free them from Egypt. They had felt the fear of being crushed between the sea and Pharaoh's army, only to see God open up a path through the sea for them to escape. They had been hungry, and they had seen Moses pray to God, and God sent quail and manna. And now they are thirsty. And they're saying, "Is God among us or not?" They want God right down with them, leading them, providing for them all the time. Let's get rid of the middleman, Moses. We want God here. And if we're honest, we're all like that or wish for that at times in our lives. But what we fail to realize in those times is that God is with us. We just fail to see it. We fail to see it because we make choices that separate us from God. Or we don't even consult God before we make the choices. Or maybe we don't consult God because we're afraid of what God would say to us if God were with us. At this point, I want to turn to the story of the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John. Because here we get a sense of what it might be like if Jesus or God were here with us. First, I want to say, this is one of those times I always feel a need to say this. The Samaritan woman is not a prostitute, is not a shady woman. There is nothing in the dialogue in the Gospel of John between Jesus and the Samaritan woman that suggests this. But many people, including many preachers over the years, have suggested that since she had 5 husbands and was living with a man who wasn't her husband, in fact, meant that she was a shady woman. In fact, many people over the years have suggested that lots of women in the Bible were shady. Lots of those women who greatly benefited the early church, and even the great Mary Magdalene. What we are dealing with that kind of thinking, and it kind of enters into what we're talking about today, is in these kinds of beliefs, we think there's misogyny at work in the interpretation of Scripture, born out of a patriarchy that is strong in the Bible and has ever been ever since. And that's why when the disciples come back, they're incredulous. Probably more so that Jesus is talking to a woman rather than that he was talking to a Samaritan. Jewish men are not supposed to talk to women. Strange women, that is. And especially Samaritan women. But you know what the wonderful thing is about the Gospel of John? The Jewish leadership don't understand Jesus. The disciples often don't understand Jesus. But when you read through the Gospel or study it, you find that the outsiders, like the Samaritan women, they're the ones who get who Jesus really is. And so the Gospel of John just kind of throws all that up into the air and blows it apart. But I think this is what happens when God is among us. Questions are asked that break down the way people think, that break down the walls that people put up to make life secure. God and Jesus point out things that we're not comfortable dealing with about ourselves. So let's be honest. We say we want God among us, but we're afraid of what might change in us and for us. I firmly believe that if we got our wish, and Jesus came down right now to talk to us, he would say and ask, what he would say and ask would be very uncomfortable for us. And perhaps that's why we don't go to God in prayer. Because we're afraid of the answers, the questions. God is among us. It's we, the people, who have moved away. I've often shared this story, and I've changed it to kind of reflect a more modern thinking in light of what I said a few minutes ago. An older husband and his wife are riding in the car. Now, they have one of these old cars that some of you will still remember that had a bench seat for the front seat. And the wife always did the driving. And one day they were riding someplace, and the husband says to her, "You know, I miss the times when we used to sit together while we were driving." And the wife just kind of said, "I'm sitting where I've always sat." We move away from God. And you know, that's one of the wonderful things about welcoming new members into the church. Because they shake things up a little bit. And I want to give you permission to shake things up a little bit. I pray that they will use the voice of God speaking through them to challenge me and all of us. And at the same time, I pray that God will speak through us and challenge them and touch them. And we just baptized Alice. And I pray that she grows up in a church where not only does she know she's loved, and I firmly believe she will in this church, but that she will know that God is among us. God is within us, working through us, using us. And that God is with her, even now as she's sound asleep. And I think when that happens, we might get the result like with the Samaritan woman, who went back to her community and she told them about this man who knew everything about her. And he was a stranger and he was a Jew. And she said, I think he's a prophet. He's a holy man. And so she brings the whole village out to meet Jesus. And this is what happens when people realize that God is among us. Because things change. Social and moral taboos are broken that need to be broken. They're challenged. Relationships are forged and new life is evident. For the Samaritan woman in the village, the kingdom has come near to them. When we can live with God among us and within us, the kingdom will have come near to us. It's not going to be easy. We probably have to give up old ways of thinking about things and ways of doing things. But you know, the kingdom will be among us, near us. And isn't that what we really want to experience? The nearness of the kingdom? God hasn't gone fishing. We have. Let's come back.